Assalamu alaikum, guys. Hello, how are you guys doing? It's been a while. I hope you guys are doing good. Okay, so I'm not recording a video of the intro to today's episode because I actually want to say some things and I'm feeling very shy saying them on camera. I just realized that my introductions have been very, very rigid this season since I have been filming myself. Maybe I need to get more comfortable, you know, with the whole process. But anyway, I feel like I apologize a lot in this podcast. Please don't hate me. I took more than what I could handle last Ramadan and I just shut down. I remember like talking to you guys before Ramadan and I was just talking about how, oh my God, you know what? I'm very like practicing gratitude now. I'm just so grateful for, you know, my life, my yada, 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 you know, just the whole thing that I was saying. And I feel like I got tested this Ramadan with, you know, gratitude and patience. Because this was one of the hardest Ramadans for me, I'm not even going to lie. I normally, even without Ramadan, I would fast. Like, I am such a fasting girl. Fasting isn't really difficult for me, you know. Alhamdulillah. But then last Ramadan, I don't know if it was sun or if it was what, but I was really, really suffering. I would feel hungry from morning till night. I think I only, like, did I say angel? Oh yeah, whatever. I only like enjoyed maybe 3 or 4 or maybe high as day 5 as a me. Like 5 days fasting that I wasn't completely useless. Do you understand? I was very unproductive and I would just, you know, do my ibadah, you know, my normal askar and everything and make all my du'as and all my extra in the night because I just knew that I'm just completely useless in the daytime. Anyway, it took a huge toll on me. I found myself crying. I was just going through a lot and I was just complaining to my sister one day and I was just telling her, I was like, you know, I just feel so sad. This Ramadan is so difficult. Like, I'm always hungry. I'm always tired. I'm always this. I'm always that. And she goes, oh, what of the people that don't have Abhishan Ra? What of the Muslims in Palestine? And I just kept quiet. I'm not trying to say she invalidated my struggle or anything, what she will say. I'm not saying that my struggle was invalidated or anything, but I mean, like, I was also going through a lot. Anyway, you guys, so I literally just shut down, especially in the last 10 days. I just went and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to listen to my body. That's what I do now. Like, when people ask me, how do you handle stress? I don't even do anything. I just listen to my body. If my body tells me that I need to shut down, I just listen, and that's what I do. I don't even know if that's good or not, but like, that's the phase that I am in my life right now. And yeah, Ramadan was beautiful. It was everything for me, but then I was very, very tired. I was very unproductive. And that's why I just literally just couldn't post this episode when I was supposed to post it. Anyway, I'm so grateful that I was able to experience Ramadan. And I really hope I'm able to like experience next Ramadan, you know, just sitting down and hopefully we don't fast in the heat next year and it's easy for us. Anyway, you guys, that's my little story that I want to share with you guys before we get into today's episode. Today's episode, we had Khadija and Ka with us today and I really loved listening to her speak. I feel like most of us, you know, do something very, very similar in this day and age, and just like hearing from someone that when it comes to something as simple as her just listening to a lecture, she does her research, doesn't really just listen to anything like most of us are guilty of, or just what is trending or whatever. And you know, we spoke about the prophet, we spoke about the sahaba. Just listening to reminders of their stories was just so beautiful. Yeah, I loved it so much. Alhamdulillah. I really hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Please do not make sure to follow us on our social media. Also, make sure you give us a thumbs up or a 5-star on whatever platform you're listening to this on so that we can get more visibility. I hope to see you guys in next week's episode. Enjoy this week's episode. Hello, Khadija. I hope you're doing good today.
Hi Fatima, I'm fine, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I'm good also myself.
Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners today?
Okay. My name is Khadija Issa Anka, but a lot of people know me as Umu Mariam. And then I am 22 years old. I think that's all I can say.
Oh, okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that. You know, we spoke a while ago on Instagram, and we were just talking about how, like, people just, you know, carry anybody and just, you know, place the name role model on their head. And that was just, the best of this episode. And I just want you to, you know, tell me, like, what's the first story that comes to your mind, like, when you think of a Sahaba or a Sahabiyat that truly inspires you?
There are a lot of stories, but then I would mention one from the Sahaba. The one story that really comes to my mind is the time when Rasulullah received a revelation, when he was told by Angel Jibril that, you know, he's a prophet and everything. And when he went to meet Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, without even trying to make Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he didn't stay to prove that he was really a prophet. The moment he told Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, this is what he received, this is what he was told, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq instantly believed in him. So anytime I'm thinking about a story, because Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is my favorite actor, so anytime I'm thinking about a story, like, okay, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, this is what he did. He literally, instantly, at once, he believed in Rasulullah without even asking for clarification.
Honestly, so beautiful. Like, just at once, he didn't even, you know. Personally, I feel like I would have asked questions. That's why we're not Sahabas, because I would have said, okay, so.
Like, explain to me, how would I believe when an angel came to you?
Yes, really, an angel? Really? Okay, so what are some of your, you know, favorite Sahabas and Sahabiyats? Like, you know, you just mentioned that Abu Bakr is your favorite, but, like, apart from him, who are the other ones that are, like, so dear to your heart? And what's one unique thing about each and every one of them?
Okay, after Abu Bakr, I love Uthman bin Affan because of his modesty. I don't know if you know the narration where Abu Bakr came into Rasulullah, and then his thigh was open, but he did not cover the thigh. And then Umar entered, the same thing happened. But then when Uthman bin Affan entered, Rasulullah now decided to cover him. Then Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked, why did he do that? And then she said, shall I not be shy of the one who the angels are shy of? So that's one thing I love about Uthman bin Affan, his modest era. You can just imagine how modest he would have been for the angels actually died as Uthman bin Affan. I have a lot of favorites. So after Uthman bin Affan, after Uthman bin Affan, we have Ibn Mas'ud, and we have the four Abadilas, four of them, Abdullah bin Umar, the son of Umar bin Khattab. You know how they were keen, all of them, they were youth, alukatun, when Rasulullah was alive, all of them, they were young people. And then one thing that was unique about them was the fact that they wanted to seek knowledge. They had that, you know, feel, you know, supposed to be learning from Rasulullah. Even though they were really young, especially Abdullah bin Abbas, he was really young, but even the elderly companions, they were willing to learn from him because of how much, you know, he wanted to seek. And then from the Sahabiyat, there's one woman that I love a lot, Sulaim. He took her child. One thing that is unique about her, he took her child, Anas bin Malik, and then he gave it to Rasulullah Irin to nurture him. You know, it was Bakuwan is it okay Shiva at a very young age. Anyway, okay, somebody should nurture your child for you. You know, see, I trust him. And she, so that one gesture of hers, I look at the entire Rasul, and then she didn't tell her husband about it until the next day. You know, Irm, when even the level of magic, how would you be able to hide it? Because Nico Fuskana would just let you know that something is wrong, like, literally. But she was able to hide it, see the next. And Allah blessed her with the child after that. So there's so many of them, even Asma bint Abu Bakr, and of course Aisha radiallahu anha as well. A lot of them.
When you're listening to their stories, and you just sit down and thinking, how, oh my God, like, who are we? Like, almost everybody wants that remained. And I'm like, I agree.
Honestly, like, what are we doing, Erin? Who are we? It's always like that if you listen to their stories.
And honestly, like, because they would literally do anything for Islam, like the people of then. It's just so beautiful. Like, when you're listening to the seerah of the Prophet and you're reading books and you're just learning, it's honestly so
beautiful. What, like, who are these people, you know? The things that they were willing to do for the deen of Allah. It was just so beautiful.
What do you think are the core ethics that Muslims look for in role models today? Because I feel like nowadays there's so many, should I say fake role models, or people that seem to be like role models but are not role models. Just gather a lot of followers on Instagram and people just instantly think they can look up to you. Like, I have people walking up to me and messaging me and just tell me, oh, Fatima, I think, oh, you're my role model and everything. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't think I'm there yet. Do you understand? And sometimes it just makes you as a person just, you know, sit down and reevaluate and like, oh, what are the things that you're doing that somebody's calling you role model? It's actually a very, very huge burden on you. And so how do we, you know, as people try to filter out all these things? Because it's really difficult for you to just see someone and you really like the person and you just carry them as your role model and everything. So what should we look for as Muslims, especially young Muslims? Like, what should we look for? What are the core ethics that we can look for?
So, you know, that Chimaka, a role model is someone that is worthy of being imitated. Like, someone that you really want to imitate. Someone that is a good example for you. And I would say for every Muslim, for every believer, Allah Azzawajal has told us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the Prophet of Allah, you have the finest of examples. So a lot of times, sometimes you ask, who is your model? I'll say, it's the name of me on Instagram. So the question is, she really worthy of being created? And we all want to go to Jannah, each and every one of us. That's like, if you really want to go to Jannah, then your role model should be Rasulullah, because he is someone that Allah Azzawajal promised to Jannah. So in the boring, I really want to go to Jannah. What are the means and the steps for me to go to Jannah? Then you look at Rasulullah, how patient he was, how he was with his wife, with his companion, with his people. You know, these are etiquette that Zakadu, but that's why we have Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, the book of Imam Bukhari. Literally every single manners of Rasulullah is inside that book. How he jokes and everything. So, you know, the companion sins down as everything. Because Allah asked him, okay, this is somebody I want you to imitate. Because, you know, Abu Bakr as he said, Allah had to look at the people and then he took Rasulullah to be the prophet. Why? Because he had the finest of character. So Imba, yes, your mom, quite all right, your mom, your dad, Instagram influencer, you can take her as maybe one decade is so, okay, this is someone I would want to be like. But let's be realistic. What is it that she's doing that is making you think you want to be like her? When you are getting outward, when we're not seeing the inward. But Rasulullah, Allah has praised in the Quran. So he is someone, his character, Kumainashi, what is worthy of us, you know, looking towards Majay, let's know about him. Ma'rifat Rasulullah, let's learn about him. Then we can follow his path. So me, I believe Kawai role model Anka, it should be Rasulullah. Then those that start with the companions thinking. Because that's direct.
Oh my God, goosebumps. Yes, you know, okay, so I learned something recently and it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make every single thing about the Prophet, he did not make it possible for every single thing about the prophet to be recorded, if not that he had a reason. And the reason is for us to follow every single thing he did. How he walked, how he talked, literally how he did every single thing. So what other role model do you think that you can have that is better than him? Like, I understand, like you said, like, it's okay for you to have people that you like online, but it, you need to think about it. Like, these are people that you just see online. What of offline? Do you really know what our lives are offline? Do you, is it what exactly, like, is it what humiliating, you know, this particular person that you just love so much? It's okay to love people. It's okay to look up people, especially with their accomplishments and everything. But what do you really know about the person, you know, that you're just going to, you know, just use the word loosely, like, oh, you're my role model or something? And it's not even coming from a place of judgment or anything. Personally, I just feel like we need to just do better. Spoke of Paige earlier on, and here I just want to ask you, do you have any, you know, example of patience through the life of Aisha radiallahu anha?
Giving an example of patience with the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay, one thing that was really unique about Aisha radiallahu anha was she was so patient, even the fact that she had no child. I've never, you know, heard of a narration or something that even she was sad or complaining to Rasul. I don't know if there was one, but then okay, she was sad because she did not have a child. And you know, this is something that every woman would want. Every woman would want in Nai Auri, in Haihu. You know, I have children that I would really call my own. But wait, I want to be like my own. So I feel like it takes you know, a high level of iman, you know, having good opinion about Allah, he did not give me high one, so there's definitely hikmah in that happening to me, so let me be patient and live with that. So that's one thing about her.
You know, whenever I just think about Allah and her, I'm like, oh, that's particular, like, aspect of her life. So just like you said, there's been yeah, because like, just like you said, I've never really heard any narration or anybody saying, oh, you know, like, for example, I shared Allah and her pain, and then like literally I have not heard even one. And I'm thinking, like, imagine not having your own children. It's one thing, and then not having the child of the prophet. You can just imagine how that must have been. I don't know what else can top that one. So let's go on to the next question. How has the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inspired?
Oh, the life of Rasulullah has inspired me in so many different ways. But honestly, one thing that has always really inspired me about Rasulullah, especially if, you know, my iman is a bit low and everything, whenever I remember that this is somebody that he was promised Jannah, Akachi Mishi, everything of yours has been forgiven. You know, he has been told that Jannah has been promised. Zinabanka anyathi maka, every single thing, wanda kai, the wanda zama kai. But then he was so dedicated to worshiping Allah and pleasing his Lord. In every single opportunity he gets, he tries his possible best to worship Allah as soldier. You know, the entire life of Rasulullah itself, it's an inspiration. But definitely, I wonder, okay, this is something that, whenever you hear about it, it's something that Yana inspired all the time, you know. So it's always the hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that Rasulullah in yatashi salandari, whenever he does the jada, it's like he's never going to stand up. And whenever he does his ruku, it's like he's never going to stand up. And then when she asked him why he was doing that, even though his sins have been forgiven, he said, "Shall I not be a thankful servant?" And I always ask myself, what are you really doing with your life? Because Bawande Mikalkora Aljana, Bawande Yafimik is in the bank. Like, nobody has done that for you. So what are you? So that is something that really inspires me to, you know, wake up and, you know, do better. Because obviously I can never be like Rasulullah, but I can follow his footsteps. So that's something that, okay, I always tell a lot of people, but the way we live our lives, like I'm buying a ticket to Al-Jannah, like go ahead. Because when we're committing a sin, we always tell ourselves Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. We're so delusional, that's what we do. But look at this man, Rasulullah. Like look at him. I'm going Al-Jannah, I'm going to make it. But still, he was still putting it so much effort to worship Allah as well. So that's one thing that inspires me about his life.
Really nothing we would say that we've been through that like, and it really just feel when you're reading about him, you just feel less alone, whatever it is that you're going through. And for me, that like that's just it. Like you said, every aspect of life, that's so true. Like, what is it that Muslims of this time, what is it that we're going through that they haven't gone through before? You know, whether it's personal battles or is a battle for us, like as like the entire Ummah, there's really nothing that would say that even they haven't gone through, like during the Prophet's time, you know. And like just that alone, Steph, just, you know, inspires you to just keep moving. Is it depression? Is it loss of property? Is it grief? Whatever it's losing someone.
I've gone through each and every pain that makes it like, okay, we're really going to be lost all his kids. I think Fatima radiallahu anha was the only one that was alive before he died. The curse.
And he was still very great. So in recent times, you know, we have like so many, you know, Islamic public figures, we have so many sheikhs, and you know, so are there any ones that you say you admire, and like why?
There are a lot of scholars I admire, but personally I admire the old ones. Some of them are not really known. Some of them basam abada fatwa because they're really old. They're old basam abada fatwa. One of them that I love a lot and I admire, even though he's not married, and it surprises me that he's not married, he's about 89, 98. I always confuse his age. He's about 89, 98. He's Sheikh Fawzan Hafizahullah Ta'ala. He stays in Riyadh. I don't know if people know him, but he is someone that I really love and admire. May Allah preserve him upon khair. You know, the amount of knowledge he has, the amount of hikmah and kawa imaina magana, you could even a mountain of knowledge, kawa, if he is speaking. You know how the scholars are really very humble and whatnot. And there's another student of knowledge, he's not really a scholar, but he's a student of knowledge. One thing that got me attracted to him was his name is Abu Khadija. His kunya is Abu Khadija. And my name is Khadija. So I'm like, we're going to bond with this man. This is my father. And then he's from Pakistan. And I love Pakistani people. So that was one thing that really got me attracted to him. And then I started listening to him. And then instantly, Kawif Nafara Sanshi from no, he's like, Allah, this is a samoto. I'm actually struggling, but you don't even have to struggle. Kawif? You just feel connected to that person. But honestly, there are a lot of people that I admire from the mashayikh. But as I said, I admire more of when the sikadei, I feel the knowledge of. Because kifansun's upa, dunya mata issues. There's nothing they love about the dunya anymore. They're just focused on learning the rest of the mashayikh, they are just coming up. Like gaslighting, and they're just coming up school. Quite a lot of mistakes with what they're doing, but we're all human, so Just and if you focus on account school, honestly.
How do you know these people? How are you able to like have access to knowing these people? Because I think for us, it's just usually, you know, them, Mufti Meng, Omar Suleiman, you understand, like the usual ones that are online. So, but these other ones, like how did you find them?
So when I started, you know, Kawaii and Adanashira, you went around, okay, today I want to be a better person. So when you decide to like be a better person and you're sincere, Allah Azza makes you sincere, He opens the door for you as long as you're sincere. So honestly, I started knowing the student of knowledge Kumekisa, most of them are English speaking Magana. No, they don't really speak in Arabic. Not like I am a pro in Arabic enough, but there's a different feeling if you're sitting and you're learning from, you know, the scholars, student in Sikina. So there are a lot of them. What's the best there?
And you said they speak English or Arabic?
No, so the mashayikh, the scholars that are old, they don't even speak English. They speak Arabic enough. So I got to know most of them through their students. From listening to recordings on SoundCloud, listening to recordings online, you know, googling, you know, who are the scholars, you know, when did they graduate? Most of them from Islamic University of Medina, some of them in Yemen. Then tracing things back, that's how I got to know about a lot of them. Most of them are Basudari, most of them Basudari, but at least I've had recordings once, I've had videos once online. And they've left a lot of knowledge. So in my, you want to know really scholars, you know, you can actually trace it back. You know, you can just search it online where you see it.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Like, you actually need to do your research and then just find it, right? That's really interesting. I think that's going to be one of the things that I'll do this Ramadan. I'm going to start looking for them. How do you think modern day Muslims can draw strength and guidance from the seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially with all the things that are going on in the world right now for Muslims? You know, how do we just remain hopeful and very steadfast while reflecting on the story of the Prophet?
Alhamdulillah, the best guidance we have is to be born Muslims, alhamdulillah. And when Allah made us Muslims, how come that you understand? We have Rasulullah as the guidance. He is the person that was sent to the whole of the Ummah to guide us to the correct understanding of the religion. So Allah has told us, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Say to them, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, everybody says he loves Allah. Everybody you touch in this dunya, as long as he's a Muslim, I love Allah so much, I love Allah. To Allah is speaking to you. If you truly love him, he said, Qulu Rasulullah. Because in Tajuba, the life a lot of us are living, the world itself, we're living a different life, contrary to the life of that, the one that Rasulullah is living. Literally. Different life, kabaikia. Because Rasulullah, when Allah, when it was revealed to him, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, the second one and verse that was revealed to him was, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, fa'anzir wa rabbaka fakabbir. Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, O you enveloped in a garment, yani the person that is sleeping, arise and warn. Yani, wake up and warn your people, call them to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we know the Tawheed of Allah is La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. That's the main reason why Allah Azza wa Jalla create, like, that's the main reason of Al-Islam, the foundation of Al-Islam. So in the Inchi Kajuba life, modern, a lot of people are going to tell you that life of Rasulullah is, yani, century inch is different from this century. Which I last think we're in 21st century. But Islam is Islam and it will never change. The ruling that was applied aloka to the life of Rasulullah is the same ruling that we should apply in our lives today. She has that every single thing is what messed up for us. She has that our lives, you see, we're struggling because of what we've done with our own hand. Allah is not even asking for perfection from us. But in Tikajuba, we're all struggling with following Rasulullah correctly. We're all struggling with that. So, you know, Zaki Gamatani, that's Jimiki. Let's modernize Kaza. Let everything, Zaki Janchi, I modernize in Inshi. Whilst the religion of Islam is not for me and anybody to wanna to change it, to wanna to try to. What do you call it? To try to modernize it because ba mumika ka adinin ba. he told us to follow Rasulullah, to follow his footsteps. So honestly, if we're going to remove this whole one word in modern, and just follow Islam as it was, how you practice an issue. Because you're doing the bare minimum zakat and achievement for extra, literally. The bare minimum zakat and achievement for an extremist or something like that. So honestly, a lot of things Allah has told us in the Quran so many times to follow Rasulullah. Kuma yaba mutlawani, he said, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِي أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those beware, those who disobey Rasulullah, lest fitna will strike them. The words of Allah are haq, like they are true. Rayum is different. We're not following Abinda Rasulullah. So that's why a lot of fitna, we're seeing it in the entire dunya. We ask Allah to save us, but it's really sad, wallahi. Very, very sad.
Wallahi, whenever we just think about the way we're doing our things in this world, kawai, may Allah have mercy on us. That's the only thing I can say. Like, may Allah have mercy on us. Because just like you said, you'll be doing the bare minimum and you'll be like, oh, sanu malama. And it's not like you're perfect, you know? So we spoke about role models earlier on, and now we're going to be speaking on how do you filter between the Muslim influencers to look up to and the ones not to.
If I'm going to be very sincere, I'm not saying don't look up to any Muslim influencer. I'm not saying don't do that. But every single influencer out there would only allow us to see what they want us to see. We don't know the true, you know, era. Yara, you want to see it. Of course, by the way, you want to portray and you want to talk about it on social media. Of course, you cannot do that. That's definitely not going to be, because you want to talk about it is not on social media. But the reality is, we believe that we are alive. And we believe Hakara, you want to see it. So I want to be, okay, I want to be like so person. I want to be like so person. Hakata kifita. Come on, we need to realize that the moment you become a public person, whether you like it or not, you influence a lot of people. You influence a lot. The moment you decide that you want to be a public figure, there are a lot of people that will look up to you. There are a lot of people that would want to be like you. I've heard someone saying because social influencer does not observe the correct hijab, it amount of that either. Do you understand? So these are things that these are a lot of things. So I would never advise somebody I really care about, somebody that, you know, his main aim is to go to Jannah. I would never advise that person.
You know, I totally agree with you, because personally, I don't think you should look up to anybody on Instagram. Just like what you said, like, people on Instagram will only show you what they want you to do. And if your goal is to, you know, go to like Jannah and everything, then that's not the way forward, you know. Like, we need to do better, and this is something we need to speak about more in our community. It's not anybody you see on Instagram that you just decide, oh, this is the person that I want, this is the person that I am, in fact, this is my role model. Like, role model from where? Do you even know what they are doing behind closed doors? And I think even as for the influencers, like, it's just, you know, people are just putting the influencers on the spot, because like, what give you the impression that I'm perfect, that now you've looked up to me and then I go ahead and I just do something and all of a sudden you're disappointed in me? Meanwhile, I didn't ask, even though you, like you said, no matter when you start posting something, of course, like, people just start, you know, looking up to you and everything. But that's, at the end of the day, see, these are people who just get disappointed in you and everything. And it's like, don't look up to me, you understand? But then at the end of the day, I think, like, just don't. Because I'm also struggling, she's also struggling, everybody's really on their own journey. May Allah make it easy for us, Kawai. That's just it. And people just have to do better. Thank you so much. Honestly, you've said everything, and I know so many people are going to learn from today's episode. Like you've said enough to carry, and I hope we said good things in today's episode, and I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for all the good things we said here and the things that we said that were wrong, you know, or we misquoted or whatever. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. Thank you so much, Khadija. Honestly, you did so much justice to today's episode, and I love you for the sake of Allah. Thank you so much.